Amen. Amen. Well, church, go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, I want to echo those words from that song. Lord, I want you to be the treasure of my heart today and forever, Lord. I want you to illuminate within me your goodness and your majesty and your greatness, Lord. So, Lord, that the things that you reveal will soon become the pattern of my mind. And Lord, my mind would get healthier. My mind would get stronger because you are the treasure of my heart. And Lord, I pray that that's the reality for all of us in this room, whether they're watching online or those who are watching at a later date, that we would aspire, that we would pursue the Lord for him to be the greatest treasure, not our gifts, not our jobs, not people, but you, to put you on the rightful throne of our hearts. So that it can create, like we said, healthier thoughts so that we can be living from a greater perspective and we can have greater outcomes because of who you are. So Lord, do that very thing today in this message. Do that very thing today in this message by allowing your people, the people that have trusted you, to learn that they can trust you even more. That trust, there's still some trust left. That they can keep trusting you in whatever circumstance, in whatever season, and they can be drawn closer and closer to you. God, we absolutely need you today. We don't need you not just when things are chaotic. We need you in every moment of our lives. From the sunrise to the sunfall, that's when we need you. So Lord, bless us today. The perfect son's name is who we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Good to have you guys. The sun is out right when I get up to preach. The sun comes out. I see how you are, God. Good to have you guys here with us today. So happy, as Chet said, he's on vacation. Really, he's at home, just let everybody know. Chet's at home. He's been hitting up Chick-fil-A and Chipotle every day. I went to bring it to him. I DoorDashed it to him the other day. No, we're excited to be with you guys. We're going to be continuing our series. I'm going to get to that in just a little bit. But as Chet said in the video, I want to bring to mind, this week is a big week at Christ Church. This week is a major week at Christ Church. This week is the week of prayer. And I want you to know the week of prayer is when things happen. The week of prayer, that's when God moves in powerful ways. 3 years ago, my wife and I, during the week of prayer, we were heading to the church and we were begging and pleading and asking for God with tears to give us a child, to bless us with a baby. And we have gone through years of infertility and people were there crowding around, praying over us, crying with us. And now we got this 2-year-old rugrat running around causing havoc. I'm gaining weight by the minute. It ain't looking good for you, boy. But I just want you to know the week of prayer is when things happen. And we all got something we need to pray about, right? Don't act like you ain't got nothing to pray about. We all got something. From the thing you may call minimal to the thing that is extreme, is something that needs to be prayed over. So we invite you to come on out and be a part of the week of prayer. But we're going to continue in our series that we actually started last week. And the series titled is A Life-Giving Mind. We said that our goal for this series and really kind of our goal for this year is to get healthier. And I hope that that's your goal too, friends. I hope your goal every day isn't to wake up and see how much money you can make, see how much status you can get, see how much you can get people to like you or whatever it may be. I pray that you would take on the things of God and you would say to yourself, my job today is to head towards the direction of healthier. Because God wants you and I to get healthier. But we said and we established that the way to get healthy begins with how we think, right? The way to get healthier begins with how we think. Because if you want to change your life, you got to change the way that you think. Our church and our staff, we've been reading this book by this very well-known pastor named Craig Rochelle. It's a book called Winning the War in Your Mind. I just want to say this, and Chet said it last week. Friends, if you feel like your mind is getting to dangerous places, get some help. It's good. Don't get me wrong. The Bible is the source of health. Don't get me wrong. I know this is what we need, but God uses other resources to help assist in that path of getting help. So get some help. It's okay to do that. And in our church, we've been studying this book. And in this book, this pastor says this one quote, and it stuck with me, and it's going to stick with me for the rest of my life. He says this. He says your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. You hear that? Your life is always heading towards the direction of your strongest thought. Whatever's on your mind, that's where you're going. It's pretty much what he said. Whatever's dominant, whatever's consistent, guess what? That's how your life is being lived out. As a matter of fact, Bible and even science will say this. Yes, the Bible and science, they don't contradict one another. They actually are very much in line. The Bible and science will say this. The fundamental issue of every human soul has to do with the toxic thinking, the broken relationships, the addictions that we face, the self-sabotaging motives that we have, the things that you and I go through, all of that boils down to the way that we think. So guess what, friends? We got to take care of ourselves. Guess what, friends? We got to ask God to partner with us, not just ask him to partner with us. Guess what? To lead us into this season so that we can get to a healthier place. I remember reading this blog by this woman. She's a well-known Christian blogger. Does anybody read blogs anymore? Am I the only loser in this room? Derry Rose, I love you, girl. That's me and you, we're losers. But anyway, this lady, she says in this blog that she's talking about how to, you know, get a healthier mind and whatnot. And she uses this example. She talked about an Eskimo fisherman. And what he would do every time he would go to his village, he would bring his dogs with him. And there were two dogs. It was a black dog and a white dog. Now, I don't condone what this fisherman did, so she just uses it as an example to make a point, and that's what I'm doing too. But she bought the dogs, and she would have the dogs, I mean, he would have the dogs fight. And the villagers would come, and they would place their bets. But every single time, the fisherman would win. And one day, the villagers said, hey, how do you know who's going to win? He says, well, that's easy. Whatever dog I feed the most is the strongest one. Whatever dog that I feed the most is going to win. And she says this, and she parallels this when it comes to our mind. Whatever thoughts we feed our mind, whatever things we feed our mind, grows. It gets stronger. Whatever you feed your mind, whatever you are aspiring towards, whatever is dominant in your life, it gets stronger and stronger. If you feed your mind, hey, nobody is paying attention to me. If you feed your mind anger, ego, pride, well, guess what? That thing that's you're feeding your mind, it begins to grow. If you feed your mind comparison, because we all love to compare, right? Right when you see somebody, you're looking them up and down. Fellas, we do this all the time. Fellas, we do this all the time. We look at people like, he's got some big shoulders, but I got some big legs. He can't mess with me. I mean, you know, he got arms, but I got a back. And we're always doing this comparison game. And can I just tell you this one thing? Most of the reasons why I get myself in trouble, and most of the reasons why my mind is out of whack, because I'm always thinking what everybody else is thinking. Have you ever been there before? When you're trying to think what everybody else is thinking, do they like me? Do they approve of me? Are they happy with me? Do they accept me? And so, friends, whatever you are feeding your minds, friends, guess what? Listen, that's the thing that begins to grow. And so today, God wants us to feed our minds something greater that gives us a different reality so we can live from a greater perspective so that our outcomes will be a lot different than what it is today. Said that very fast, I'm sorry. I'm preaching right now. God wants us to feed our minds something that creates a different perspective internally so externally we can begin to live different. Because God wants you and I to be different. And here's the one thing. God wants us to feed our minds with his truth, with his spirit, with his word, so that it creates greater outcomes. So we've been studying the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Chet's not here. Should we do a Bible drill? Chet's not here. Bible drill, there we go! Oh, is he watching online? Oh, hey, Chet. See, I know you told me don't do it, but the Holy Spirit told me to do it. But anyway, Romans chapter 8, we're going to be jumping right there. And in Romans chapter 8, it's helping us to see, giving us a clear vision of how we can have our minds full of life and peace. Because who wants their minds to be full of life and peace today? Who wants their minds to be full of life and peace? Well, guess what? The Apostle Paul, the writer of this letter, is going to help assist us in this. Now, before I open up Romans 8, I didn't realize how much of Romans 7 the chapter before, how much Romans 7 really sets up Romans 8. See, here at Christ Church, we do this thing called exegesis. Exegesis is when you read the Bible and you pull the meaning out. You say, hey, I'm reading it in its totality, in its context, and I'm going to draw a conclusion from what I pull out. Eisegesis is when you put the meaning in. It's when you make it about you. You read one verse and you take it out of context. Many people have done this. And how I've done this is I've realized that in chapter 7, Paul talks about the battle that goes in our minds. Because I want you to know, friends, the truth of the matter is you're in a battle. You are in a battle, right? Paul says, hey, there are things that I don't want to do, but I end up doing them. You know what that's like, right? There are things that I know that I want to do, but I don't follow through with them. I go back and forth. And if you're a follower of Jesus, there's a real war that goes inside of each and every one of you. And the way that Paul ends this chapter, he says, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Pretty much Paul says, I'm a lost cause. Or it seems that he's saying that. But that's where he steps up in Romans 8. And friends, today I do want to acknowledge, listen, we are at a battle in our minds. There's no getting around that. Let's not act like there's nothing. We are in a battle of our minds. But God in his word wants to equip us with tools and instruments to help us win. It may feel at times that we are in a battle that seems that we can't win, but God's truth and with God's spirit, we always eventually come out on top. We trust and we walk. And we do the things that he called us to do. So let's read Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read a little bit of what Chet read last week just to set us up. I want you guys to know I'm going to be done in 15 minutes. Shut up. I'm going to be done in 15. It's a quick sermon today. Three verses. How do you like going to Starbucks and you can go to get there by 10:30? That's got to be nice. I'm going to hook you up today, guys. For those who don't believe in me, shut up. We're going to start at verse 5. Let's start at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the spirit set their minds on things of the spirit. So here's the thing. As a follower of Jesus, the flesh is not a physical body. It's not your physical body. The flesh is the imperfect nature that you and I have. Because when you become a believer, when you trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, illuminates, and creates a new man and a new woman. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, anybody who is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. God has to make you new. That's the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is he takes a dead thing into living things. And that's what he wants to do in us. So the flesh is one thing. That's the thing that's making you more and more insecure. That's the thing that makes you more and more stressed. That's the thing that makes you sweat bullets when it comes to going to bed at night because you're thinking about the whole entire day and how you're going to do the thing tomorrow, and therefore you think about it at night and all this stuff. But he says those who set their minds on the things of the Spirit, that's God's way, that's God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Those who set their minds on the Spirit is life and peace. Look what he says in verse 6. He says in verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So at the end of the day, what Paul is trying to say is, listen, there is this battle that goes on back and forth. But it does come to a point, because some of us think we don't have control of our minds. But the Bible actually says you do. Sometimes it does feel uncontrollable. It does feel like, you know, you want to think different, but this keeps popping up and that keeps popping up and you start to get a little bit better, but then that thing that you don't want to think about, you keep thinking about. Anybody been there before? Paul says, guess what? You can win that, but you win it in and through God's Spirit. Not on your own. See, I believe what gets me in trouble is that I try to defeat thoughts on my own, the bad thoughts. The toxic thoughts. But when I invite God in on that, oh, it's a whole different story. When I invite God in on that, say, God, I need you. I need you in this moment, at this time. Be with me. Stay with me. Guide me in all of this. See, that's what Paul says. That's when you can have a life, have a mind of life and peace. So now in our verses today, we're going to talk about kind of what does that look like when we do that. So we're going to start at verse 9. He says this: you, however, are not in the flesh. You, however, you're not going to be dominated by your old ways. You, however, you're not going to be governed. If you have an NIV, it probably says the word governed in your Bible. You're not going to be governed by your own ways. You don't have to give authority to the past. You don't have to give authority to your brokenness. You don't have to give authority to those things. He says this: for you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, Paul's favorite language, he says it over 200 times in the New Testament, in Christ, Christ in you, in Christ, Christ in you. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's a lot. And it's probably a little bit confusing when we read it at first glance. If that's your first time reading it, you're like, what is Paul trying to say? So kind of weird. But friend, listen, I've been there before. I get it. But fundamentally, what Paul is going to get at, Paul's going to talk about, listen, you got to realize that God wants you and I to win the battle that goes on in our mind by his Spirit. See, as a believer, you have this thing in you called the Holy Spirit. And I know that's kind of like, all right, well, what's going on? Who's in me? What do you mean that the Holy Spirit is in me? See, the fact of the matter that some of you came to church today, that was the Holy Spirit doing that. When you pray, the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray. When I'm up here preaching, the Holy Spirit is prompting me to preach. When you decide to talk to God, that is God's Spirit working in you so that you can connect to him. And that's what the Spirit does when we have our toxic thoughts. He wants to work in you, not that you connect to the flesh, but rather you would connect to God's ways. And that's why Paul says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So he means this. Listen to this, friends. Most of the reasons why our minds are the way that they are is because a lot of us are being dominated by our past. A lot of us are being dominated by our brokenness. A lot of us are dominated by what we've done, by our failures. And what happens is, little do we know, those things begin to creep up and slowly progress with us throughout life. But Paul says, guess what? Don't give authority to those things. You hear that? Don't give authority. Don't let your mind be governed by what was. Don't allow your mind to be governed. Don't allow the outward things to traffic things that God wants to do within. He says, don't allow yourself to give authority to the things of the past. You see, he wants us to live in authority to the Spirit. He wants our minds to be connected to the things of God. He wants our minds to be connected to what God says. Because there's a lot of things that you say, but sometimes what you say isn't what God is saying. And who's going to have weight in that life? Who's going to have weight in your mind? What God is trying to say to you, or what your circumstances are saying to you? What God is trying to communicate to your heart, to your mind? Because believe me, friends, there are times where God's trying to communicate back and forth. There was a time where this guy, he hit the back of my car. And I like, the first thing I do is get out. And I'm ready. I'm like, why are you, you know, I'm ready to fight. Like, I'm ready. And but I'm telling you, there was something, like, listen, before Jesus, there'd have been a lot different. But because of Jesus, like, there was something in me like, bro, you got to slow down. Practice self-control. Practice patience. Practice kindness. And I was like, all right, cool. But then homeboy gets out of the car and he's hostile. And I'm like, oh no, you're making it so much harder. Because now I really want to go before, like what I did before Jesus. Like, I really want to do this now. But what the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit is that thing pulling you to the things of God. The goal of the Holy Spirit, listen, the goal of God's Spirit is to give you a mind like Christ. Why do you need a mind like Christ? So you can be able to fight temptation. Because in that moment, I was tempted. I was real tempted. And you and I face different temptations in our lives. We're tempted to go back to our old ways. We're tempted to dwell in shame. We're tempted to say that nobody likes us and nobody wants to be around us. We're tempted to drown ourselves in self-sabotaging thoughts. But the Spirit of God is saying, here's a new way, walk in it. Here's a better way, walk in this moment. Walk in this thought. Walk in this way. That's how the Holy Spirit works in the life of every believer. It's trying to get you to do the things God calls you to do rather than what you want to do. Because isn't that the reason why we get ourselves in trouble in the first place? Because I'm always listening to myself rather than listening to God. Are y'all awake today? Yeah. Y'all know what that's like. That must be conviction speaking to you. Sometimes that's what gets ourselves in trouble, is that sometimes we are letting ourselves dominate, our brokenness dominate, our past dominate our lives. And so God wants you and I to be led by His Spirit, to be led by His work, so that we can have the mind of Christ. He wants us to have the mind of Christ in our homes. He wants us to have the mind of Christ in our marriages. He wants us to have the mind of Christ when you're facing the worst thing, the thing that you don't even wish on anybody else. He wants us to have the mind of Christ. He gives us the thing that we need so that we can win the war within. Gives us the thing we need so we can win the war within. The goal of the Holy Spirit, his job is to lead you into truth, to lead you into God's promises. That's his goal. It's to lead you into truth. It's also his goal is to make sure that you are maturing. Because friends, there is some maturing you and I need to go through. You and I need to go through this thing called growing up. Because the reason why the Holy Spirit wants to mature you so that you and I can look more and more like Christ. And see, friends, when we live in that authority, when we live in that place, friends, guess what that does? That opens up and releases so many blessings that you and I never thought that were there. What's the one blessing? Well, number one, if we walk in the Holy Spirit, if we allow God's Spirit to lead us, number one, it gives us a firm identity. Can I tell you right now, most of the reason why we have unhealthy thinking is because we have a lack of clarity of identity. We have a lack of clarity of identity. A lot of us don't know who we are. We say to ourselves, who we are is what we do. Who we are is our jobs. As long as I'm successful in this area of my life, I'm good. As long as I'm making more and more money, I'm good. As long as people are praising me and giving me opportunity, I'm good. We say that to ourselves thinking because we want this thing called joy and fulfillment. Therefore, we put our identity in so many other things, but the Spirit gives us a greater identity, a better identity. The problem for each and every one of us is understanding and knowing our identity in Christ Jesus. If you missed it, it's right there in the text. He says this. He says in verse 9, go back to verse 9. He says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So he's saying that, listen, those who don't follow Jesus don't have the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit in them. But guess what he said? He said, but you, however, you have it. So therefore, you have the Spirit. So what does that mean? You belong to Christ. How amazing is that to hear that? Most of the reason why my thoughts get lost and dangerous because I don't have a sense of belonging. A lot of us know what that's like. Where we feel like there's no one that would accept us. There's no one that would welcome us. There's no one that would take us in. But the identity that Christ gives us, it says, you belong to me. And if you belong to me, I'm the one leading you. And if you belong to me, I'm always with you. He says that. Then he says it in verse 10. He keeps picking it up. He says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Let's talk about that. What is he trying to say when he says the word righteousness? Righteousness does not mean what it does mean. It means to be right with God. Now, I need you to hear this. This is the power of this text right here. I need you to hear this. He's trying to let us know that we have God's Spirit because we are the righteousness of God. We stand before God blameless, holy, spotless. And guess what, friends?
You didn't do a thing to get it. You didn't do a thing to receive that. There's this thing called the imputation, the imputed righteousness of God. How Christ, who was perfectly righteous, although he died a sinner's death, he was sinless, but he died a sinner's death. He was perfectly righteous. And what happens is when he died, righteousness was imputed into you. What does that mean? That means every time God sees you, the ugly you, the you that gets that drinks a little bit too much, the you that cusses everybody out because you're not getting your way, the you that goes a little bit too far when it comes to how you discipline your kids. Oh, I'm going there. Guess what? In Christ, you are still the righteousness of God. God says, you're mine still. You're mine still. Listen, I know you did that. I know you go too far. I know you slipped up. But guess what, friends? You're still the righteousness of God. Why? Because of Christ Jesus. That means when we go before God, Jesus is standing right there with us. He's like, listen, God, he's good. He's on my team. He's on my team. He's good. He's on my team. That's a sense of identity. He's trying to shape us to know who we truly are. It's 10:14. I'm not going to be done by 10:15. I see a couple of y'all like, I wonder how you going to land now. Listen to the word of God. Sinners. What's wrong with y'all? Three things I want you to know. Number one, you are the righteousness of God. Those who trust in Jesus, you are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. God sees you because of his. Listen, God treats you like Christ. How awesome is that? He treats you like Christ. You don't deserve that. So what's the response in that? The response is saying, okay, because God sees me and treats me like his perfect son, therefore what that does is that allows me to draw my attention to what he wants me to do, to what he's calling me to be called to. To now allow the shame and the past to dominate my life, what I did and what I didn't do, but now draw my mind to the things of God. You are the righteousness of God. Number two, you belong to him. That's beauty. That's beautiful. Listen, friends, we're going to face broken relationships. And sometimes what drives our minds crazy is the conflict and the tension we have with other people, especially with our in-laws. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm venting. We're going to have broken relationships, and there's going to feel a time where you're going to have a sense of loneliness in your life. You're going to have a sense where nobody really understands you. You're going to have a sense where nobody really is there for you because of the brokenness that's in this world. Listen, we're broken people trying to love one another. And when broken people try to love other broken people, it creates more brokenness. Amen? Listen, we're not perfect. But even in the midst of that, no matter who leaves you, no matter who forsakes you, you always belong to him. You always belong to him. You are the righteousness of God. You belong to him, and Christ is in you. So how do we wrap up? Well, here's the thing I want you to know. The Spirit himself that dwells within us, who takes residence in a believer, he takes residence. He makes his home there. Jesus speaks about him very often in the Gospels. Read it. He begins to take residence and make his home within our hearts so that outwardly we can begin to live different. Because the Spirit wants to empower you to be different. You hear that? He wants to empower you to be different. I wrote this down, and I want you guys to listen to what I got to say. Listen, we all will struggle. There's no perfect mind in this room. His only perfect mind was Christ. And guess what? The Spirit wants to give you that mind. Wants to give you that mind. We all will struggle. We all will be prone to give into insecurities again. You're probably going to go home after this and do the thing you don't want to do. The thing you said that you weren't going to do last week, you're probably going to go home and do it again. We're all going to struggle. We're all prone to give into insecurities and fear. We're going to talk about fear more next week. We're going to give into fear, allowing our circumstances to define reality. Allowing the situation to speak and to be loud in our minds. But the Spirit comes in and says, I want to be the loudest voice. I want to be the loudest voice in your life. I want you to listen to me. See, the goal of God is not to change our circumstances, but to change our mind in the circumstances. That's the goal. The goal is not just to change situations and maneuver and put things to the side so that life can be easy. No. The circumstances, the things we face, God says, now here's my spirit. You're going to go through this. But as you go through this, there's a newer you on the other side. There's a newer you on the other side. The spirit is empowering you to be different. Because a lot of us like to tell ourselves one side of the story. A lot of us like to say, man, I've gone through divorce. I got a bad relationship with my father. I've been let go from my jobs. I don't make enough money. My kids don't like me. But there's another voice speaking saying, you are the righteousness of God. You hear that, friends? You belong to Christ. You are the righteousness of God. And you belong to Christ. You are in Christ Jesus. So it comes to the point, what voice are we giving weight to? What voice are we giving weight to? You and I are going to struggle. You and I are going to give in. But the Spirit comes in to tell us a different story so that we can live out a greater reality. Because there's this thing called sanctification. It's how the Holy Spirit works in us. He is sanctifying us. It's a process. You are a work in progress. Give yourself a break. You hear that? You are a work in progress. You're going to disappoint people. I know what that's like. You're going to disappoint people. You're going to disappoint yourself. You're going to hurt people. But guess what? The Spirit over time is changing you more and more and more and more. It's sanctification. It's how he, it's the work that he does within you. So sure, you don't like what you are today, but if you listen to the Spirit enough, you will be a lot different tomorrow. Sure, you don't like where you are today, but the Spirit of God comes in to help us to be a lot different for tomorrow. You are a work in progress. At times, friends, it does feel like we're stuck in a battle we can't win. It does feel like that. And without God's help, we won't win. I want to say that flat out. Without God's help, we won't win. We'll repeat the same things over and over and over and over again. At times it feels like we are stuck in a battle we can't win. But in Christ Jesus, and by the provision of his Spirit, we are in a battle we can't lose. By the work of his Spirit, we are in a battle we can't lose. Sure, it may feel like you're losing, but the Spirit says, guess what? You're winning more and more. It may feel like, oh, I've given into this thought again. But guess what? My Spirit is at work in you, convicting you, maturing you, and growing you. And I guess, and you might do that again, but I'm going to give you a spirit to fight it. Because what does this teach us? It teaches us to fight. I'm going to call fight in us. But not a fight that's on our own, but a fight that is partnering with God and His Spirit saying, be with me, let's go to war. Because to win the war, you got to be engaged. You got to be engaged. You got to say, all right, I'm tired of having these thoughts. Holy Spirit, let's do this. You ever seen the TikTok? Holy Spirit, activate. You ever seen that? Activate. My wife says, yeah, look at her. Yeah, yeah. We're asking God, partner with me on this. So my mind can be healthier. So my mind can be stronger. Let's pray. Spirit of God, we ask you in this place, in this time, to fill our hearts with your truth. Because a lot of us are feeding our minds lies. Spirit of God, we ask that you would fill our minds with your word and not with our ugliness. Spirit of God, we ask that you would meet us in this place and you would just renew some people and you would help them to, to get them to trust you more and more. That they would hear the shepherd's voice, the good shepherd's voice, and they would follow your voice. And they would be so recognized and they would know your voice so well that other voices, they don't even attend to. But they're so used to your voice dominating their lives They're so used to your truth dominating their lives, they're not going to give in to the lies. Lord, let that be the work you do in us today here in this place, right here and right now. Because God, I can't go back to my old ways. I can't go back to how I used to be and what I used to do. I just can't. I'm ruining my relationships. I'm ruining so many things around me. People don't trust me. People have a hard time coming to me and approaching me. And God, I want to be different. So Holy Spirit, work in us. Work in us today. Create in us a new heart so that our minds can be new as well. In the Son's perfect name is what we pray. Amen.